You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What's up, Real Sports fam? We are back. I am back from vacation for episode 9 of the Real _ Sports podcast. On this episode, we are going to discuss the Kawhi move to the Clippers, as well as Paul George, Russ Westbrook's potential suitors. We'll touch on some MLB for post-All-Star break and some Monday mailbag questions. Let's get it.
And down goes Frazier!
Auburn's going to win the football game! Auburn's going to win the football game!
Curry, way downtown, bang, bang! Gives it to Jenkins for the championship! Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up to Lance, oh, blocked by James!
What's going on, everyone? I'm your host, Jack Settleman from Real _ Sports on Snapchat, a 1 million follower Snapchat page, the most engaged sports snap with me today. And as always, my longtime best friend, Abe Granoff. Abe, how are we feeling?
Jack. What it do, baby? The NBA is back.
The NBA is back. We finally have some parity. I know you're rooting for your West Coast team, the LA Lakers, to get Kawhi, but
That's not true.
Yes,
that's
you are. True. Stop.
Oh, I wanted him to stay because I wanted to beat him.
Oh, my God. You're literally lying. You're unbelievable.
What I said... What I said was that I wanted him to stay because if he had gone to the Lakers, like I had a short time span of like 48 hours before, like a couple days actually before Kawhi signed, where I was like, wow, the Sixers are the best team in the NBA. And I wanted that to last for as long as possible. And now I'm going to have that for the whole next season. And if he had gone to the Lakers, I would have had to drop that. Like even I couldn't have defended that. But
you saying,
now that he's in LA with the Clippers, I don't have to worry about that.
You saying you wanted him to stay so you could beat him is ridiculous, though. You never wanted that. Whether or not you think this gives you guys the best chance at winning it all, that's different. But for you to say you didn't want Kawhi to go to the Lakers, I don't know if I can agree with that.
Well, the thing is that I didn't even think the Clippers were a possibility until we found out that Kawhi was sneaking around like with Paul George as if they're like mistresses meeting around. I thought it was strictly Toronto or the Lakers, and I would have rathered him stay in Toronto than go to the Lakers, but that's irrelevant. He's in LA. He's on the Clippers with Paul George, and let's get into it.
So I'm just like, you know, I was on vacation. I'm not even really tracking the Kawhi watch because nothing was happening. There wasn't anything to even watch. And then, of course, 4 a.m. or whatever, God knows what time it is, I literally just roll over, check my phone, and I have multiple Woj tweet notifications. Kawhi Leonard chooses the Clippers. I'm like, wow. And then I look again, Paul George to the Clippers. And I was really like, what in the world just happened? What was the reaction for someone who was awake?
I mean, I was at a bar. And when it happened, I think I was pulling money out of the ATM or whatever. And I get the Woj alert because I turned him on for the trade deadline. Bad idea. Very bad idea. But anyway, and I get this Woj bomb and it says, Kawhi to the Clippers. I'm like, yeah, woo, woo. And then literally a minute later, Paul George to the Clippers also. And all shit broke loose at this bar, man. I had no idea what was going on. My immediate thought was, honestly, I took out my phone, made a Snapchat, embarrassingly wrote the East is ours on it.
Well, you still feel that way. So.
Oh, no. I know it's true. I mean, it was a drunk thought. So, but I mean, it's crazy. You have now with Paul George and Kawhi in LA with the Clippers, you have probably around off the top of my head, like 10 teams that legitimately think like, and their fan base can legitimately think and hope that an NBA Finals championship is realistic. In my opinion, some of those people are pretenders and will be really good teams that are be like top three teams, like a team like Boston, a team like Indiana out west, a team like Portland, Denver, that I don't think actually have a chance to win at all. But the fact that we now have this many teams vying in each conference instead of just a total dynasty in the Warriors. I know you think that the Warriors could possibly still run it back.
But they're not the overwhelming favorites, is your point.
No, they're not. I don't even – they're not even close to a favorite. I think
are they the third best team in California?
Are they the third best team in California? I like what De'Aaron Fox and Harrison Barnes are doing up north in California in Sacramento.
Me too, but, honestly. But
I mean, they're 100% the third best team in California.
100%.
I know. Yeah. Third best team. The Lakers are one. The Clippers are two. And I think we'll see that next season. But like teams like – all right, so we talked about this today, you and I. Like the Western Conference playoffs is essentially set. You have both teams in L.A., the Warriors – this is barring any injury, but the Warriors – the Rockets, the Nuggets, the Blazers, yeah, the Jazz. And then I think it'll be the Spurs for the 8 seed. You think that Dallas can make the run in it. But it's crazy that the West is already set and that the regular season might matter even more now because how much home court's going to mean. Because I don't see many games being separated between these 2 and 6 seeds because the NBA is that – there's that much parity now.
2 and 6 seed, what you, that makes it seem like you know there's going to be a 1 seed.
What do you mean? Yeah, well, the Lakers will be the one. We already went over it.
Wait, whoa. I'm not saying the Lakers aren't the best team in the West. I'm not saying they're not better than the Clippers. And we will have that discussion. But to think that the Lakers are going to finish one.
You're right. I don't think the Lakers are going to be the one seed. You know who I think is going to be vying for this one seed?
The Jazz.
The Jazz are going to be your 58-win cuties of next season, where the mass media and all these talk show hosts are saying, "Oh, look out for the Jazz in the playoffs. They're playing good defense. They're putting the ball where it needs to be on offense. The Jazz are this. The Jazz are that."
What is this voice we're trying out? Who like? What?
We can call that Colin Coward.
okay,
but yeah, I mean, I think they're going to take the regular season way too seriously, exhaust themselves, win like 58 games. We saw that with the Nuggets this year. They're essentially out here to prove a point that they can compete.
Right.
And in the end, in the playoffs, as we all know, the teams that are trying less in February are going to be more rested for May and June. And the Stars will come out to play, and the Jazz will probably lose in the second round, let's call it. But I think you'll see them towards the top of the conference.
I agree. 58 wins is a really like a lot of wins. I think it'll be a little lower. And like you talked about, the West is so competitive that you would actually have to imagine that it's going to be about 50 for all 7 of those teams that are going to be running around. The Warriors could be in danger with Klay coming back late.
The Warriors are done. They'll be a good team because they're the Warriors. I know what you think. Oh, they could run it back. They could win the West again. They're done, dude.
They're not even close to done. We'll touch on that briefly. But first, so Lakers, Clippers. The Clippers, like top to bottom, coach, GM, full roster. I'm not saying like they're 12th man. I'm talking like top 8, 9 guys. Like they can throw out solid, solid bench guys, which will definitely help carry them through the regular season, as well as I think their closing 5, which is going to be projected to be Beverly, Lou Will, Kawhi, PG, and Montrez. That's a scary 5, especially defensively. And I just think the Clippers are a better team than the Lakers. I think they'll probably – it's tough to predict because I don't know how many games, you know, Kawhi will play during the regular season. I think they're better for an 82-game season than the Lakers. But come playoff time, I do think that you got to go with the Lakers over them. I mean, a conference finals between them would be just so much fun to watch.
I mean, I kind of think that LA will always be a Laker town. So it'd be weird to see like when they switch the floors in between games. And I think that still most of the fans will be Lakers fans. I mean, I'm assuming there's something with like the season ticket holders of each individual teams get priorities over tickets. But like you've got to assume that it'll be split every time. I think that's inevitably what we will get. The Rockets, people aren't talking about the Rockets mainly because they didn't make any moves. And I'm kind of glad they didn't. Why blow it up? It's been working for you other than this series with the Warriors and everything, but you went 7 last year, Chris Paul, or 2 years ago, Chris Paul didn't play. You lost to them again in 6, and now they're breaking up. They're your kryptonite. So I like what the Rockets did, staying put. But let's talk about Russell Westbrook for a sec. Where do you think he ends up first? And I guess, what do you think that team will do with him?
I mean, it just seems like the apparently like the Heat are the front runners, which I don't really understand.
I need that. I need Jimmy Butler and Russell Westbrook in the same locker room together.
Because the Heat like have literally zero money. Apparently they had zero money to even get Jimmy and they somehow pulled it off. So I can't imagine them getting $40 million Russ. But I do want to say one thing. I know it appears that no one wants to play with Russ. I'm not fully buying into that. I know that people claim he chases stats over championships and all that stuff. He is a winner. Like, I know you can see by the way he plays how hard he plays.
He's a winner.
But that's my point. All he cares about is winning. He doesn't actually care. Like, he would trade his triple doubles for a championship any day of the week. And my point is,
so why doesn't he pass the ball?
Well, he averages 10 and a half assists.
Come on. But you know, at the end of games, it becomes me ball with him. Well, the ball doesn't move. And that's the kryptonite with him. And now I seem like a Russell Westbrook hater, but you can't convince me that Russell Westbrook can be a one or two on a championship.
He can be a two. Stop it. Stop it. What do you mean? His team was, they literally made the finals with him as a two when they had Durant. They just happened to be very young and they ran into a LeBron super team that was perfectly in their prime.
I don't know, man.
No,
the ball just sticks with him way too much.
He averages a triple-double. He passes the ball. He literally gets 10-plus assists every game. The ball doesn't stick too much.
But it's his style. Like, I love Russell Westbrook. I think him and you might think this is biased, but like Joel Embiid and Giannis are three of the toughest competitors in the league. Like, all they care about is winning and what they need to do for their team. But I just, with a guy like Russell Westbrook, who is inefficient from three, he shot sub 30%, but overall he's shooting like what, 44-odd% from the field. Like, his buckets are coming in the mid range, and like we know how the NBA works nowadays. And if he's being inefficient and taking inefficient shots, like mid-range shots, and the ball, he's taking the shots at the end of the game where he's not that great of a shooter. I mean, maybe it's the system he was in, but the fact that him and Paul George, what'd they lose in five this year to Portland?
I just can't with the disrespect on Russ. He's average.
It's not disrespectful.
It's his style of play. But I get you don't like the style of play, but he has averaged a triple-double in two straight years. He's an MVP candidate type of player. I'm not saying he can necessarily lead a team to a championship, but he can 1,000% be a number two with a scorer, like an elite scorer. And like, I think for what he is, this is the lowest trade market that there might ever be for a player of his caliber. And I think it has to do in relation to age and his contract, but like,
100%. It's going to be more of a salary dump where you're not going to see, like we talked about today, when Russell, you said
it should not be a salary dump. That's my point. That's crazy to me.
Okay.
That is
crazy. I mean, that's what happens when you're 31 and you still have $170 million left of your contract. Historically, guards don't age well in this league.
I have a serious question. If you replaced him with D'Angelo Russell, the Warriors get better or worse?
The Warriors get
healthy Clay.
I think the Warriors get worse. I mean,
no, my God, this is crazy.
Do you think Russell Westbrook is willing to give up these shots and play in a system like that?
I think he had it once before. He went to the finals. He's seen what has happened, and he would adjust his game. He averages 11 assists a game. It's not like he's not passing the ball. Who else on that team would score besides Paul George? Why do you think he was taking shots?
All right. So I don't – maybe that's a little far saying the Warriors would be worse. Russell is a great player. He's an all-star in this league. I'm not going to say the S word. He's not a superstar.
Oh, God.
Dude, okay. You can't call him a superstar.
We can't even have the superstar talk because no one knows what
he is. We can because there's a correct answer.
No, he was a superstar. It changes. It ebbs and flows.
Oh, my God. So it's a weekly basis of superstars now?
All right. So the team I just touched on, because we can't do the superstar talk. It'll just be us going back and forth for hours, is the Warriors. And they're the third best team in, you know, California, whatever. I literally cannot comprehend why people are counting them out. I get the Clay injury. He comes back from injuries. He's the toughest mother effer. And he will be back. They say they want to rest him, so maybe March. But March, April, he'll be playing 10, 15 regular season games, and then he'll be back for the playoffs. It is literally the same core of the dynasty, and it is the same super team that they had, except instead of Durant, they have D'Lo, and now Looney gets another year. They're going to have a better bench who's going to get a ton of minutes during the season. I cannot understand why this team won 73 games with those three players. Steph Curry has the highest plus minus of the last five seasons. Like, I cannot fathom as to why people are counting out the Warriors already.
Quick question. Yeah. So the Warriors dynasty, wait, what'd they win? They won three rings?
Yeah.
Three, correct?
Yeah.
And who won the MVP in all those three? Two Durant, players that will be on their team or won't be on their team next year?
Okay, Iguodala's done. He's not a non-factor.
Okay. Oh my! Iguodala has been huge for them in these past few years.
But you just touched on.
You had your turn. Shut up. You had your turn, and you just touched on the first thing you said was, "I get the Clay injury." Blah blah blah. And not once in that stupid little rant of yours did you mention that they lost Kevin Durant this offseason.
But my point was, they're in Game Six against.
Oh, they added an All Star who was an All Star reserve, a sub. Last year, God! Because
you literally just said he was better than Russell Westbrook.
No, I didn't. Yes, now you're twisting my words.
Yes,
now you're twisting my words.
So what'd you say?
I said that, and I also may or may not have rescinded it a little bit.
Oh my God! I said that, this is crazy.
I said that the Warriors would be worse with Russell Westbrook than D'Angelo because of how their styles of play. Who do I think is a better player, Russell Westbrook? But that's not the point. I think the Warriors will have a good season. I think they'll finish middle of the pack in the West. And then I don't see Klay coming back to Klay Thompson right off the bat. How often do you see someone thrown in midseason after an injury such as a torn ACL?
The guy who stands in the corner and pops open threes, I think he'll be fine.
But that's not what they need. The Warriors need. They need Klay coming off screens, flying across the perimeter, catching and shooting it. That's what Klay does. And we saw in Game 3 of the Finals where they didn't have Klay or Draymond, Steph had to play hero ball. If he has to do that for the first, we'll call it 60 odd some games of the regular season, he's going to be drained come May and June. Chances are his little bum ass ankles will be falling off of his legs. I mean, the Warriors will be good, but to say that they can compete with these other teams in the West, like both teams in LA, like the Houston Rockets.
Yeah, because Houston's given them a lot of issues. All right, so let's go through this scenario. All right, they make the playoffs. Klay's healthy. D'Lo's working in the offense. They're going to lose to A, the Blazers in the first round. Yes or no? Yeah. B, the Nuggets.
Why not? Yeah.
Oh my God, you're doing drugs,
dude. The first off,
this quick thing team about the Blazers. Is the 73 team. Team win?
No, they're not. D'Angelo Russell. That's the thing. No, they're not. They have the same logo. Shut up. They have the same logo as that team. They wear the same uniforms as that team. But the guys in that building, in that locker room, are not the same as they were, dude. Like, what do you get?
You're right.
Klay Thompson won't be there for
the. But he will be there for the playoffs.
Being the Klay Thompson that he was?
Yes. Oh, my God.
Okay, wait. Let's make a bet. Let's do it. We haven't done one of these in a while.
What's the bet?
Hold on, let me look at Klay Thompson's stats.
No. I don't care about stats.
Oh, okay. Now the stats come out.
He'll average 22. That's literally what he does. It's just 22 every single game, every single year.
Yeah, he really does do that. That's crazy. I'm looking at it now.
What are his numbers?
So, the past 5 years, 21-7, 22-1, 22-3, 20, 21-5. So you think he'll return to that, the efficiency that he is?
Yes.
All right, let's throw it down right now.
So what's the bet? Because we can't even bet that it'll be like 21 or more because he literally averages right on the number. We'll save the bet. 21 or more,
and he's been shooting above 40% every year of his career from three. You think he'll do both those things? Do you want to parlay him?
We'll save the bet. All right.
Oh, okay.
Before a word from our sponsors. One of the Real Sports Fam members wanted us to talk about Jabari Parker being picked up by the Hawks. Massive move for Atlanta?
No.
Literally.
But it's fun. Jabari's a name that was really cool for a few years, and then his knees fell off, unfortunately. Yeah. But I don't know. Atlanta's going to be a fun team. They won't do anything. They got all these young guys. Like, why not for Atlanta, you know?
Well, The thing with Atlanta is they will be the trendiest and hottest pick to make the playoffs, and I think they're going to miss it. I love the young core. Don't get me wrong; they have a lot of young talent. I like.
We need to find someone who thinks that the Hawks are going to make the playoffs and put them on this. I need to have a talk.
Why you don't think they could? I mean, this as much as the West is locked up, the East is the same. It's Bucks, Sixers, Celtics, Pacers, Nets. I guess you could say Toronto, even without Kawhi, they should be fine. Heat with Jimmy.
Definitely Toronto. Definitely the Heat.
That's seven. And then the eight seed's kind of up for grabs. The Knicks should be there. LOL.
Shut up. It's going to be the Magic or the Pistons. It's not.
No,
it's
going to be the Hawks. It could be the Hawks. But the funny thing is,
the eight seed this past year had 41 wins. You think the Hawks will have at least 12? A plus 12 win differential over the season?
No, I don't. That was my point. That's why I said they'll be trendy. I don't think they make it. I was like trying to talk myself into the Knicks 8 seed, and I looked at the roster and I was like, God, we are so bad.
They might be worse than they were last year.
I do need to make one statement though. Well, they won't be worse. That's dumb. But everyone overreacting to the summer league is like the funniest thing ever.
Including yourself.
What do you mean?
You were posting some RJ slander on the Real Sports Snap.
No, I guess people misread that. I said, like, I know it's the summer league, but this is bad because if you actually watch the games, what his flaws were coming out of school are recurring, and that's the issues you don't want to see. A little hitch in the jumper, he's not seeing open passes, stuff like that. But two games in, like, Trae Young was airballing threes, and he'll be fine. All right.
Yeah, Furkan Korkmaz had 40 in a game last year. I thought he was the second coming of Michael Jordan.
Yeah, he could have been.
Now he's in Turkey.
All right. So we talked about them on the last episode while I was in Italia, but I wanted to give another shout out to my friends at ponchooutdoors.com. So they're running a promo for us. And if you buy any of their shirts, they're short sleeve, long sleeve, and these shirts are like moisture wicking. They're perfect for outdoor, great for travel, great for hiking, but they can also just kind of be, they're like a swing three. They can also be used to go to the bar, go to church, wherever you want to go. They're really, really nice shirts, and they just release these hats. And if you buy one of the shirts, you get a free hat as long as you use our code. So the code is RealSports. You can do Real_sports. And the best part about them is that you get free shipping and return. So, like, order it, get the hat. If you don't like it, send it back. Keep the hat. I won't tell Clay. Like, just get the hat. But seriously, ponchooutdoors.com, really, really solid material. I love the shirt. Ponchooutdoors.com.
All right. And now, one of my personal favorites. These are my guys. It's ShipStation.com. When you're selling online, getting your orders out can be a real pain. That's why you need ShipStation.com. It's the fastest, the easiest, and the most affordable way to manage and ship your orders. No matter where you're selling, Amazon, Etsy, your own website, ShipStation brings all your orders into one simple interface. ShipStation helps you get orders out quickly, save money on shipping costs, and most importantly, keep your customers happy. And right now, yes, right this second, Blue Wire listeners can try ShipStation free for 60 days when you use promo code BLUE. There's absolutely no risk. You can start your free trial even without entering your credit card info. ShipStation works with all major carriers, including USPS, FedEx, UPS, and even Amazon Fulfillment. So you can compare and choose the best shipping solution for you and your customer. No wonder why ShipStation is the number one choice of online sellers. You'll ship in less time with the best rates on the market. Just visit ShipStation.com, click on the blue microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in blue. That's ShipStation.com, then enter promo code blue. ShipStation.com, make ship happen.
What a tagline, make ship happen. All right, before we get on to the MLB and Monday mailbag, I had game one of the regular season tonight. We won 53-43. And as we know from past episodes, I range from Alonzo to our friend on the program, Russ Westbrook. I would say I was in between tonight, wasn't finishing my lays perfectly, but thankfully this league I joined like cuts highlights for us. Not cuts, they show the whole game, I'll cut the highlights. I had some nice plays. The passing was just, I threw a full court pass today that it would make LeBron proud, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, well, let's also throw in a blooper or two, because I'm sure you can find plenty of those.
There were a few mislays, but overall...
Let's throw them in. Let's show, yeah. Show your true colors.
I think I'll give you the login so you can see the clips as well. That way we get a fair
share. I'll probably delete the highlights and post the bloopers.
And that's fine, and I'll have the highlights. But the one thing is, like, in every pickup game, I know it was refereed and everything, like, there's all these different personalities. The one, my favorite tonight was the guy on the other team, this big man. So this is like a C plus B minus league. So it's people who played in high school who still play regularly, but it's not like college and D1 guys, because there's people in other leagues, nicer leagues, that are like dunking windmills in warmups and stuff. But this guy in our league on the other team, he was like a 6'7", 6'8", center, probably 260. And he, every time he would like, he wasn't swatting people, it was like tip blocking. And he would be like, get that shit out of here. And we were like cracking up because he was the softest player in the league, complaining about every foul. And I just thought it was so funny. There's a special group of players in pickup basketball.
I used to do in high school, I used to, like, as a side job or whatever. Well, not a side job, it was my job, but it was just something I did a couple hours a week. I would do the scoreboarding for the men's leagues at like the local community center. I've had multiple 40-year-olds try and fight me so much. Granted, like, me and my friends that we would work with, we would like take time off the clock when they ran down the other side of the court and like be checking our fantasy lineups and meant to stop the clock. All right, dude, relax, like, whatever. But yeah, men's leagues and rec leagues are always fun when people take it too seriously that are scrubs. But on a different note, a nice little segue into our MLB portion of this discussion. Pete Alonso's got five. He's trailing Vlad Jr. by four home runs now in this derby with a minute left. Did you see that Jock Peterson, Vlad Guerrero round last in the derby?
I got home from the game. Hold on. I need to throw out my stat line. 10 points, 6 assists, 4 boards, and a win.
No. Literally no one cares.
No, they care. Yeah, so I saw that he won in triple overtime. It was absolutely nuts. I tried to post some on the snap, but it was like too crazy and too long.
Vlad hit 8 home runs in the first overtime, and Jock, with barely any rest, just came out and matched him. Up, he's one back.
This is the final, right?
A lot. Pete Alonso, home run derby champion.
Wow. Shouts to Pete Alonso.
Wow, Vlad.
Pete Alonso.
I told you, Vlad, whoever, I said that before we started recording, that whoever came out of the Acuna Alonso was going to win, because Vlad was just gassed.
Yeah, and they won $1 million, and like they were really smart about the way they marketed this year. I'd love to see the NBA put up a mill for like the dunk contest. Like, get LeBron or Giannis or Zion in that thing. Like, are you kidding me? Well,
Trout doesn't do the derby.
Yeah, but Trout's not like a serious home run power hitter that like –
Bro, he would destroy the derby.
No, he would, because he's the greatest baseball player ever. But he's not like – it's different. It's very different. So MLB, I have the Yankees winning it all, because I think they are going to get Mad Bum at the deadline. Who's like your pick? Talk about the NL East real quick. Like, the Phillies are just in free fall. The Nats are surviving, and the Braves are kind of walking away with it.
Bro, the Phils are just an absolute joke. For the while, I mean, Aaron Nola, our stud, is finally back past three starts. I think he went for 6 2/3 yesterday or something. But the three starts before that, he had to have started off pretty crappy. He had at least seven innings pitched with one run. They're back. Bryce obviously hasn't lived up to his contract. I mean, it's that much, but he's a second-half guy. He had an all-star second-half last year. We're very hurt all throughout. We've been rotating in outfield players. Adubel, obviously, is suspended for the rest of the year. Yeah, we've been in shambles. We really need to go. I would love to see us bring in a Bumgarner at the deadline. The Giants GM was actually talking about how they might not be sellers at the deadline.
I don't buy it.
I'm kind of hesitant to do that, given that I think only the Marlins and the Mets have a worse record than them in the NL. I think they're like 5.5 games back of us for the second wild card spot. I could be wrong. But yeah, I mean, the Yankees, the Red Sox, I mean, every contender is going to be looking for a guy like Bumgarner. Not only can he hit the ball, which is important in the NL, he's actually a sinker, but he's a notorious postseason stud. And that's what you're looking for at this time of year. I think the Rays need to do something. Twins, like, they're both having great years, but, like, I think we can both agree that they're pretenders.
Yeah, the problem with the MLB, not the problem, but, like, out of the contenders that are of the norm, it's really, I guess the Astros, but it's really Yankees, Dodgers, and then everyone else. Like, Astros are hanging around, but they don't seem as dominant as past. And then you have teams like the Rangers, who are 48 and 42, the Twins. Yeah,
they came on fast.
Yeah, they did. And, like, I just don't know if these teams are quite ready yet. It feels like you need 2 years. Like, the Royals, a few years ago, they made it to the playoffs. They showed they were real, and then they got that World Series. I kind of feel like it's the same for all of those. And then you just kind of have a cluster of teams in the NL Central where you have Yelich and the Brewers. The Cubs are up there. The Cardinals, who have kind of been underperforming. And then the Pirates and Reds are overperforming. Like, do one of those teams make a big move at the deadline to kind of try and push through? I don't know.
I mean, I really think in the NL, I mean, I think the Dodgers are in their third straight pennant. They have just been unbelievable. In my opinion, they have the MVP. I know it's between Bellinger and Yelich, but I'm taking Bellinger, given his numbers are better than Yelich's right now. Plus, the Dodgers have the best record in baseball by, I think, like a good range. Like,
no, it's only three games. In the NL, they have a nice gap. But
yeah, four games more, or something against the
more importantly is that right now, Clayton Kershaw is like the third best pitcher on the Dodgers. Not actually, but Ryu's starting the All-Star game tomorrow or on Thursday. Walker Buehler has been pitching out of his mind. And then Kershaw, like, you have three aces that you walk.
I mean, I guess you can say Kershaw's in postseason form already.
Nah, he's, what do you mean? He's pitching his mind out right now.
I know the third best, but, like, yeah. I'm telling you, in the playoffs, they don't want Kershaw pitching those big games.
Nah, he kind of shored that up a little last year, little more than usual. But I really think it's the Yankees' year to lose. Like, they're hitting top to bottom.
They're bound to get someone. I mean, Severino hasn't really pitched all year whatsoever. They're unbelievable. I can't even believe Luke Voit also didn't even make the All-Star game.
Yeah, that team's good. Red Sox hanging around. I don't know. It's going to be fun.
They're killing me. They're killing me. I have 94 wins for them.
I know. They're not going to be even close to that.
How many games are left? Like 70? I need them
to win
72
games left. No.
Yeah, and
you don't need them to win. Oh, yeah, you do. Yeah, you have no shot.
I'm screwed.
All right. So – you like the Dodgers. I like the Yankees. The fun thing is we still have like 70 plus games. So we have a lot of MLB to talk.
So long.
Yeah. And now the NBA season is hopefully finally winding down and should get a little rest, even though I feel like that season is literally 365 nowadays. Let's hop into the Monday
NFL training camp in a little under 3 weeks. Don't sleep.
I know. I'm so excited. We're going to do some college football and NFL preview pods. That'll be a lot of fun. Let's touch on two quick questions from the Monday mailbag real quick. Your favorite player ever, I guess, from Gracker, G Racker 4, Graham Cracker, I don't know what he wants. I guess he didn't specify a sport, but maybe I didn't write it down correctly. So I think he was asking the NBA, but let's go overall favorite player and then why.
You're talking favorite player in the NBA in overall sport. Or in any sport?
No, in sports of all time, of now, whatever you want.
Oh, I mean, you know what's hard with this type of question is because we have been both diehard fans that you want to make a rule on this that they can't be from your own team?
No, name whatever. It's our pod. Just do what you want.
All right. Well, my favorite player all time in any sport has to be Allen Iverson. Though I am a diehard, I would say the Eagles and the Sixers are equally up there for me. The NBA and the Sixers were my first love. I had season tickets growing up. And, like, I still remember to this day AI dropping 48 in game one against the Lakers in the finals, even though we lost the next four. But, like, no one even thought we'd – the Lakers hadn't lost a playoff game up to that point. They were – I think there was one less round there – round then, so they might have been 8-0, whatever. They were undefeated at the time. And we just came into the Staples Center and won game one. I remember it so vividly. Allen Iverson single-handedly carried probably one of the worst finals teams of all time to the finals, to the number one overall seed in the regular season. And I mean, I just grew up watching him. He changed the NBA in terms of he made them enforce a dress code. He was a cultural icon. So he's probably my favorite athlete all time. But if we're talking, I don't know, man. Actually, I freaking love Odell nowadays, dude. Now that he's not on the Giants, I've always wanted to root for him so bad. I've been biting my tongue for so long because he was on the Giants.
He's the man.
But he's just so damn cool and so good. I love Odell. He's not up there. He's not up there as for my favorite athletes of all time, but he just came to mind. But I would have to
say. What about Say?
What?
What about your boy Saquon?
I mean, he's a giant. I mean, he's just not even close to it. He's unbelievable.
He's your boy, though.
Yeah, well, sorry.
When's he coming on the podcast?
I don't know, man. Let's reach out to him. Let's get it happen. I'm sure the real sports fans would love to hear that.
They would love that, especially when we preview that the Giants are headed for a 5-11 season.
Mate, I think they want less.
Yeah, I don't know.
The best thing was that I saw today was actually Daniel Jones's Madden rating. There are undrafted free agent quarterbacks that have a higher rating than Daniel Jones.
They had to have done that just like for the clout. And like, there's no way they could have rated him worse than Tyree Jackson, who didn't get drafted.
Yeah, it's crazy.
All right, my favorite player ever, NBA CP3. I watched him since he got drafted. I thought his story about, you know, his grandfather passed away when he was 60. That night he goes out and scores 60. And I just followed him from his Hornets days, his pick and roll with Tyson Chandler all the way out to LA with Blake and DeAndre. He's never really put it together, which is a bummer because I truly do believe he is like a winner and all he cares about. You can't over-obsess,
like, dude.
But I'm talking about the mindset of a winner. Like, I'm trying to think of someone who's just like Matt Stafford is just a loser. No, he tries hard. Like, Andy Dalton is just a loser. Like, no one really cares about him. He's just gonna lose, and he doesn't try that hard. Like, CP3 will give his guts for a game. He's just never put it fully together, and it's about
luck. Probably the best point guard of our generation. I've had a big debate with a bunch of my friends about Chris Paul versus Steve Nash. I'm personally on the Chris Paul side, but the one word that you cannot call Chris Paul, maybe to me, because I don't want to hang up this recording early, is a winner. Because
you can't just put winning like the type of player someone is on the results on the floor.
No, it has nothing to do with results. I just think he's an absolute loser.
He's
been destroying teams. He's been wanting to bounce around from place to place. I think he's a loser.
That's crazy. And then my favorite player ever personally to watch, Ed Reed for the Ravens. He just made like watching defense fun. He was literally electric on the football field.
He wasn't even the best safety during his time.
Okay.
I mean, it's Dawkins.
I'm not even going to entertain that. Final question from the Monday mailbag from Balakay. Oh, sorry. One real quick thing from J Randy 7, greatest NBA player ever. I say Jordan, you say LeBron.
LeBron James.
We're going to have a special pod dedicated to that over the course of the summer. It'll literally just be 45 minutes of us yelling, and then you guys will get the chance to vote on who is the GOAT, which is obviously Jordan. And then the final question, Balakay. _03.
Do you know what that reference is? I'm going to assume. You ever see that Key and Peele video?
Yeah, of course.
Aaron Balakay. I was watching Key and Peele last week. That shit is
You should be watching some film.
Yeah, whatever.
Best receiver in the NFL. I said your boy, Odell. I think like he's been playing with Eli for the past two seasons. And I'm going to contradict myself because I think the Browns are only going 9-7 this year. And you would think by adding the best receiver in the league that would boost them. I just don't think they're fully there yet. But I really think it is Odell. He caught like the most touchdowns ever early in his career when Eli was somewhat competent. And it just got to the point where Eli can't throw a football. And you're going to add someone explosive with Baker. Plus you have weapons around him. We're going to finally see him back to number one.
No, I mean, I'm excited too. I love Odell. I think there's like there's four guys that you can talk about at the top that, like, you can make a valid point for all of them. I think it's AB, DeAndre, Hopkins, OBJ, and
Julio.
But I'm going to do DeAndre Hopkins. He has been – no one really talks about him as much as with these guys because he's been in Houston and, like, he's kind of a more of a quiet guy. But I think he has the best hands in the NFL. He can beat you deep over the middle. He had, what, he had 1,600 yards or something last year, 1,400 the year before. He had 1,500 2 years prior to that. He's pretty much a double-digit touchdown machine. I would say Julio based off just talent, but, like, I had him on my fantasy team the past 2 years. Bro, the guy doesn't get in the end zone. It's crazy they don't throw to him in the red zone.
Yeah, he doesn't.
And he's an absolute horse of a human being.
The one thing that they say about Hopkins, like, that would kind of counter my Odell point, is that he didn't have that quarterback consistency either, but his numbers really never dropped off. So, Odell's more touchdown reliant, but touchdowns are what win games. Yards don't necessarily. So, last thing from the Buck Dynasty, way too early Super Bowl prediction. Just name your two teams and who wins. Are you going to say the Eagles?
Do you want my opinion or do you want the right answer? Because it happens, they both happen to be the same.
Oh my God. Go for it.
NFC. Eagles. No, that's, like, actually not biased. Well, actually, that's not true. But I don't know, man. We're really good. We're really deep. I think Carson, and you're seeing a lot of NFL analysts saying it. Even Vegas took the odds down for it. Carson had great value for his MVP prop. I think he's going to return to form. So we're going to touch a lot more on that, and you'll hear a lot more bias from me later on. So I have the Eagles coming out of the NFC and out of the AFC. Patriots won last year, so it's an every other year, so they won't get out of it this year.
Well, they can still get out. They just won't necessarily win.
Let's have some fun. I'm going to pick the Indianapolis Colts. I really like them this year.
That division – really tough.
That division's crazy. Yeah, no, that's wild. And you got teams like the Titans and stuff that Marcus Mariota has to prove something this year with a contract. Yeah, no, they won't do anything. I'm sorry. I love Nick Foles. I'll love him forever. But like I said before, plenty of times, the guy just got drunk a few times before a game, went out, slung the rock, and somehow ended up with a Lombardi trophy. I don't think he's going to put that together for a 16-game season.
No,
so I got the Eagles and the Colts. I'm probably going to change. I probably won't change my NFC pick, but once I look into it more.
Wait, why are you going to change?
But because it's July.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Oh, my God. This is amazing. What were we talking about today about NBA? You were like, make your NBA finals prediction right now. It's like, it's July. The season hasn't started. Because NFL season starts.
There is a way more chance of injuries, preseason injuries. Like, when my stupid friends wanted to do a fantasy league, and then Jerick McKinnon got hurt the day after in training camp.
Yes, Jerick McKinnon injuries normally influence the outset of the NFL season.
No, I'm talking about injuries in general.
Wait, so there's no injuries in the NBA?
Fine. You know what? Eagles, Chiefs. I'm locking in my prediction.
Whoa.
I'm locking it in. I'm changing my mind.
Sold out on the Colts so quickly.
Yeah, because you made me set this in stone, and that was more of just the
fun. No, you actually don't even need to set in stone. I'm just calling you out for what you were saying earlier.
I'm going Andy Reid loses to his old team because he'll probably call a timeout when it shouldn't be called and not have them at the end of the game. Eagles.
He'll ice your kicker. The kicker will miss. You'll make the kick. That's a good prediction.
Eagles,
mine
Chiefs,
is God. I like Chiefs. I like the return of the champions who fell. So I like Chiefs versus Saints. I actually don't love the Saints too much.
That was the dumbest. What does that mean?
The champions. Like both teams lost crucially in the AFC and the NFC championship.
But that doesn't make them champions.
The champions who fell.
But they weren't champions.
They were champions of their division.
That was just a stupid statement.
I was trying to get poetic. It's getting late. Chiefs.
Saints.
Chiefs versus Saints. I don't really like anyone else in the NFC. The Eagles, I think, will be good. I'm not denying that. I like the Packers to like kind of rebound. I think the Bears will have a down year. I think the Vikings will stay around where they are. The Lions are a joke. So I like the Packers to be relevant again. They spent a crazy amount of money. But I don't know. Rodgers, I love him, but he just never seems to really get it done. So
bro, this is the best part about the NFL. Like, we're talking about now how the NBA is parity, but like, obviously the Patriots have been a dynasty and an outlier, but like every year you see, I think it's what is like four teams like that made the playoffs the year before don't make it the next year or something. Like, it's constantly changing. It's just, it's the GOAT. I love
you. You want to bet that the Patriots will make the playoffs?
Wait, what did you just say?
I'm kidding. All right, Real Sports Fan.
Wait, before we, wait, come on, let's do this.
It was a joke. We will discuss all this on RS Pod on Instagram, so go give that a follow, get in the conversation. Thank you guys for listening. Sorry we ran a little long. Rate us 5 stars, leave a review, share with a friend, scream it from the mountaintops. Signing off from Real_Sports on Snap. I'm your host Jack with my longtime buddy Abe. Have a good one, guys.
Peace.